I'm going to talk today about welfare epidemiology. It's a term that's not widely used, but it does appear in the literature. And I propose that it's a term that can be used to describe a model of welfare research that's very well suited to zoos. And welfare epidemiology is simply a combination of comprehensive welfare assessments and epidemiological models. Up until now, zoo animal welfare research has been present in many forms, but we didn't actually use the word welfare until about the mid-90s. For so long within AZA, we couldn't really admit that we were studying animal welfare without it having a sort of a knee-jerk reaction among some people that associated welfare with animal rights. And so we avoided the term, but that's no longer the case, obviously. As a result, I feel that zoo researchers haven't given enough thought to comprehensive frameworks for assessing zoo animal welfare in a multidisciplinary manner, with the possible exception of great apes. Instead, we've been stuck in the era of the five freedoms, where we have been independently studying problems as they arise with the zoo species, such as disease and reproductive failure and stereotypic behavior and aggression and so on. But we know that welfare is multifactorial, and that it's centered around three main areas of concern about what's important for giving animals a good life. We've been over this before, but health, feelings, and natural living. And the single-minded pursuit of any one of the three concerns will not necessarily improve welfare as judged by the other concerns. And just as an example of this, I'll give is enrichment. It obviously improves natural living, but does it improve welfare by the other criteria? So we need frameworks of welfare of zoo animals that are multidimensional and multidisciplinary. Now, epidemiology is a term that describes the pattern, the study of patterns within populations. And the main aim of epidemiological approaches is to understand the prevalence of hazards, or welfare problems in this case, in a population and the risk factors associated with their occurrence. Now, this methodology is well established in the fields of veterinary clinical epi and domestic animal welfare. And zoos have been involved with multi-institutional research for a long time to determine optimal husbandry methods for species, but mostly at the beginning, this was, for a long time, it was simply a summarized census of zoos to find out what everybody is doing and to establish guidelines for species care. But by the early to mid-90s, it became more common to use multi-institutional research data in an epidemiological context to correlate husbandry facilities to animal outcomes, such as reproductive failure and stereotypy and chronic stress in species like polar bears, black rhino, and clouded leopards. And an example of this is Nadia Wielobnowski's study of 72 clouded leopards in 12 zoos, and she looked at stress profiles over a six-week period in all of these animals and correlated that to behaviors and husbandry variables. She found that significant correlations of corticoids with facilities, factors, and keepers and behaviors. And these results led to a successful experiment that showed that raising cage height could reduce chronic stress in clouded leopards. Now, the problem with this and other studies was that it didn't make good use of multivariate statistics. Not enough zoos were included for statistical power, And often in other studies, there's a lack of knowledge of statistical techniques and their interpretation. In other words, there usually isn't a multivariate statistician in the next office in a zoo. But there's many advantages of epidemiological studies in zoos. The variability in facilities and management styles between zoos is considerable, and this is what drives epidemiological studies, is this variability. It's also a good way to identify environmental and management risk factors that can lead to welfare problems and indicate where improvements are needed. It can highlight welfare problems of low prevalence that would be difficult to study otherwise. And it's a way of looking at long-term or chronic factors that are not easily studied in an experimental context, such as cage height or ventilation systems and other facilities factors. So there's a need to study elephant welfare in zoos. It's been openly recognized. The problems of zoo elephants are listed here. I'm not going to read them, but they're all indicators of compromised welfare, and some of the reasons are that keeping elephants in zoos is highly criticized as to whether zoos can ever provide for the needs of elephants. Okay. Not that there's a lack of knowledge about elephants in their wild. Their behavior in the wild is very well studied. Their communication, reproduction, diet, nutrition, ecology, it's all very well understood. But overinterpretation of these results from wild studies may not be warranted in the context of captive elephant care. It doesn't really tell you how to care for them. And to that end, Club and Mason have stated that, emphasized that there's a clearly an urgent need for detailed, statistically sophisticated multivariate studies of factors affecting zoo elephant welfare. So, I want to talk about our initiative to study welfare in North American zoos. Understanding using science to understand zoo elephant welfare. This is funded by the Institute of Museum and Library Services, and it's a welfare epidemiological study. We're going to use the variation in 73 zoos to study the pattern of welfare outcomes among the 290 elephants at these zoos. There's 9 principal investigators on the study from 8 institutions working on the project, along with about 20 other consultants and assistants. We're working also with the Center for Animal Welfare at UC Davis. And all 73 North American zoos that hold elephants. So it's truly a team approach. And the goal of the study is to improve the welfare of elephants by identifying environmental factors that have negative and positive impacts on the quality of their lives. But another important goal is to create a welfare research framework that can be adapted and used with other managed species. The project has 4 parts. I'll skip over that. The first part is a census-level data collection for all 73 zoos. We're asking elephant managers to describe facilities and management practices through online questionnaires. I should add that the researchers and public will be blind to the animal identities and the zoo animal and zoo identities, so everything will be coded. The second part is an elephant welfare framework. In the literature, some suggested measures of welfare in zoo elephants are behavioral things like approach avoidance, apathy, stereotypy, poor maternal care, and health measures like poor wound healing and enhanced disease rates. But these are all negative measures of negative welfare, and we want to incorporate measures of positive welfare as well, because it'll give a more comprehensive picture of an overall of the animal's overall quality of life. Potential measures of positive welfare have been suggested. Affiliative behavior, play, facial expressions, and even some physiological measures of things that are associated with improvement in mood. So we're going to try some of these and incorporate them into our data collection. The welfare framework that we developed is an adaptation from the Welfare Quality Project of the European Union. It had 12 criteria of welfare for farm animals, and we came up with 7 that apply to elephants in 3 general categories: physical well-being, feeding and avoiding obesity, the freedom of movement to seek physical comfort and optimal health, engagement with the environment, which would include species appropriate social behaviors and non-social behaviors, and good human-elephant relationships. And finally, measures of psychological state, which would be avoidance of negative emotions and experience of positive emotions. Now, here's a long list of some of the indicators that we'll be assessing for all elephants, and it's not an exhaustive list, but they include some novel physiological and immunological measures as welfare indicators, and also integrative assessments of by keepers through questionnaires of elephant personality, behavior, social traits, and quality of life. A statistical analysis will include correlation and clustering of welfare indicators and variable reduction through examination of collinearity. The epidemiological model is summarized here. It consists of environmental inputs from the 73 zoos, including climate of zoo and enrichment and training and many other things. And that will be compared in multivariate models to explain the welfare outcomes of the 290 elephants. Yeah, and the multivariate models will include random and fixed effects. It'll have statistical power because we're sampling a whole population, that's AZA zoos, elephants, and we're going to use multivariate statistical consultants. And the fourth part is just behavior hypothesis testing. With a smaller number of zoos, we're going to look at more complicated things to assess, such as walking distance and gait assessment. We'll be using GPS on these bracelets to track how much elephants walk in different enclosures. And then we'll also be doing 24-hour activity budgets by video, so we can assess things like play and sleep and stereotypy and other behaviors. Finally, I wanted to say something about data management. There's some considerable challenges because we're collecting a very large amount of data from multiple study sites, and our solution to this problem is to contract a data management firm called VistaLogic, and they will manage the data with integrated research software that's been adapted just for this study. And it includes centralized data storage, FOIA, or Freedom of Information Act protection, data coding for blind analyses and an online portal for multi-institutional access. So it's all computerized. It's not like when I've done multi-institutional studies in the past, which result in reams of paper and videotape in my office. This is very high tech, and we contracted younger people to do this. But we're very hopeful. And finally, I just want to say that we do have 100% participation by zoos. And it shows that they really do want to improve elephant welfare. And I'd like to thank the many zoos, AZA zoos with elephants, and the devoted people working with them, because they have to put a lot of time into this project. And I'd like to thank them for their collaboration. Thank you.